Okay. Bethsaida. And apologies. Things are a little crazier, so we'll learn a little bit. I don't know how long we'll be able to get through before we have to stop. We're here on Rosh Hashanah Lamed. First of all, I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone's healthy. Hope everyone's has shalom bayis at home. Lanu ulechol Yisrael. Here on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Lamed Beis Amud Beis, the second wide line. We were talking about who's making all that noise. Okay, the Gemara had said. I'm sorry, the Mishnah had said, "Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi." In terms of the psukim of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, so the order of the psukim is you begin with psukim from the Torah and you end with psukim from Navi. That's not exactly how we do it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, "Im hishlim b'Torah yatsa." If you finish up with a pasuk from the Torah, you fulfilled your obligation. But I think we mentioned this last week. Yatsa means B'dievet. It's not really the way it should be done. So im hishlim. Hold on, let me make this a little bit bigger. Let me make this a little bit bigger. I'm sorry. Im hishlim. Sync screen. Okay, you see where we are? Hold on, let me move the... Sorry, my mouse is doing funny... My mouse is doing funny things. Right. Im hishlim yatsa. Imishlim diavad. Imishlim, if he, hold on, view, synchronize, there you go. Imishlim diavad. In lechatchila lo. So that makes it sound like finishing with a pasuk from the Torah is bidyeved, and that's not the way you should do it. Vatanya, but wait a second. Rabbi Yossi is like the central address here. All the machlokas in between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is like the central address here for how the Musaf is designed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamashlim b'Torah, Hare ze Meshubach. That doesn't sound like it is Bidyevid, right? Ema Mashlim. So it makes it sound like that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to finish with a pasuk from the Torah. Vaha im hishlim ketani diavad in lechatchila lo. So, but nevertheless, regardless of what Rabbi Yossi says, that's not what the Mishnah sounds like. It sounds like you shouldn't do that. Although, if you do it, you are ex post facto, you have fulfilled your obligation. So, hachika amar. So this is what the Mishnah is saying. Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. You should start with the psukim from the Torah and you should end up with the psukim from the Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mashlim b'Torah v'im hishlim b'Navi yatsa. Right? And Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. Tanya nami hochi. There's also a brisa which supports that position. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Vatikin hayu mashlimin ota b'Torah. There's a brisa that supports the opinion of Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, that the Vatikin, the holy rollers of old, they used to actually do this. They used to wrap it all up with a pasuk from the Torah. Now, you know, in fairness, the position, the brisa that supports this is a position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. So presumably, what? In other words, there's a machlokus. The Tanakhama says don't end with, ideally you shouldn't end with a posuk from the Torah. Rabbi Yossi says you should end with a posuk from the Torah. So the Gemara says, okay, there's a machlokus between them. But there's a brisa to support the position of Rabbi Yossi. And that brisa is reported in the name of Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi. So presumably, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi, follow the position of his father, right? So, I mean, it's a support that there's another Tana that agrees with him, but happens to be his own son. So the Gemara says, Bishlama zichronot v'shofrot. It's easy enough to do for zichronot and shofrot. Ikatuva. There are plenty, there are many psukim in for zichronot and shofrot to choose from. In other words, hold on a second. What happened?
God, sorry.
Oh, okay. Just text him and tell him not to turn it off. He should let it keep running.
He says he thinks it was the starter, not the battery.
Then he's going to have a problem on the way back.
Why?
If it's a starter, it's going to have to get fixed. It doesn't get fixed by jump starting.
In other words, he got it. Okay.
Sorry. If I just a little shepel el nachas. Shalom, our son Shalom, just an hour ago finished his bidud of 14 days, and he went straight to go work a shift in Mada. But when he went to go, the car wouldn't start because it's been sitting up there for 2 weeks. Nobody started it. We'd overlook. You should start your cars. Gentlemen, start your engines. So that's why I had to run out to go help him jumpstart the car. So for zichronot and shofrot, there's no end of psukim to quote from, both from Torah and Neviim and Chetuvim. But for malchiot, what's the problem according to Rabbi Yossi's position? For Rabbi Yossi's position, you need an extra chumash pasuk for each of the themes. Now that's because how does it work? You have three Torah, three Tehillim, three Neviim, and an extra one from Torah, so it's four from Torah. Okay, so you need an extra Torah pasuk. That's not a problem, right? In other words, it's for zichronot and shofrot, it's a question of how do you narrow down the psukim. But for Ella malchiot, tlatu dahav. There are only three psukim in the Torah with the word melech. Now, David, is this true? It's not true. They're like 70-some-odd. Yes, but they're talking about Paro Melech Mitzrayim, right? Or Avi Melech, or other Malchei Basar Vedam, Melech Edom. But in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are only three psukim that refer to him as Melech. What are they? Hashem Eloka Vimo Truat Melech Bo. Where's that from? Parshat Ba. In other words, it's the nevuah of Bilam. Vayhi Bishur Melech Besatzes Rosh Yam Yachad Shiftei Israel. Where's that from? Zot Abracha. Thank God we have some Balei Kriya with us. Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vod. Shirate Yam. So the truth is, it's surprising. As soon as you read the Gemara, you run right to the Bar Ilan and you look it up. Like, Pokhaz Ivanira. Next time you can't say Pokhaz Ivanira anymore. You know what Pokhaz Ivanira is? The Gemara says, like, if there's something you're not sure about, go out to the street and ask the first person you see. Do like a man on the street test. So we can't do that anymore. Because you... Yes, so that's the melech, but that's a melech basar vadam, not melech malchei amlochim. There's a pasuk that talks about paro melech mitzrayim, but we wouldn't choose that as the pasuk for malchiot, right? We have to talk about malchiot Hashem is the melech. So are you asking how's it going to work? How are we going to do Pesum and Nisan Chanukah? Listen to me, my friend. If we are still in this at Chanukah time, we've got bigger problems than trying to figure out how we're going to do Pesum and Nisan. You know, it's only, it's still March. Right? Today's the 97th day of March. So anyway, so the point is, there's only three psukim. Now, it's interesting, like, why is that? The rarity of the reference to Hashem as Melech in Chumash. So anyways, that's what I'm saying. Pokhaz Ivanir. Ask people. How many times, ask people, like, off the top of your head, how many times in Chumash is the word Melech or Malchut or Yimloch or the Shoresh Mem Lamed Kaf used in reference to God? So what... But in Neviim and Ksuvim, it does reappear. Maybe. So what's interesting about the three places where the word Melech does appear? They're either prophetic or they're not, I wasn't going to say prophetic, but poetic. Right? All three references. Shirat Hayam, Ha'azinu, V'zot HaBracha, Slicha, the Brachot and V'zot HaBracha, and the high poetry of Bilam's prophecy. Right? You know, which gives us some of the most lovely biblical poetry comes out of the mouth of Bilam HaRosha. Right? In other words, it's great irony. Right? In other words, I don't know, you know, like maybe sometime it's possible that like Arafat or Hitler, Yimach Shemam, or Nasrallah, or whomever, maybe once they said something good about the Jewish people. Right? I mean, even if they said it ironically, or even if they said it by way of saying, this is good compared to all of the other terrible things about the Jews, would we take that statement made by any of them and put it over the Aron HaKodesh, or at the entrance to the shul? But in every shul, you know, practically in the world, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael, right? Out of the mouth of Bilam HaRosha. So it's highly poetic. Right? V'zot HaBracha is of course poetry. Shirat HaYam is of course poetry. So this was Lani's idea. Lani, I was learning over the Gemara this afternoon, and Lani pointed this out when I observed the idea that Melech only appears three times in Chumash in reference to God. So she immediately said, these are all poetic uses, right? But in biblical prose, maybe for the reasons David states, we don't refer to him in that way. But since this is the problem, in other words, according to Rabbi Yossi, you need four psukim of Melech from Chumash in order to get to the 10 psukim. So where's your fourth pasuk? Right? V'od anan ban eser. We need 10 psukim. It has to round out to 10. Three from Torah, three from Tilim, three from Ksuvim, three from Navi, and one from Torah. V'leika. And you're not going to find another pasuk from Chumash to make Melech. So Omar Rav Huna, Tashma, Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is actually what we say. Right? Shma Yisrael is the pasuk we use for the final pasuk of Malchiot. So what's the problem with that? It doesn't mention Melech, Malchut, anything. So, Malchut divi Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't matter, this is Malchut. In other words, maybe the idea of having a pasuk of Melech doesn't mean you have to have the word. Right? You can talk about someone being the authority, the sovereign, the without using the word king. Right? And what pasuk would there be? So that's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokei. What is Shema Yisrael? After all, Ol Malchut Shamayim, Malchut. In other words, between the lines is Malchut, even if it's not in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not Malchut. You can't use Shema Yisrael as the Pasuk. You can't use Shema Yisrael as the Pasuk. So then the Gemara suggests other ideas. That we don't, obviously we do use Shema Yisrael, but the Gemara was open to the possibility, or at least Rabbi Yossi was open to the possibility of other Chumash, other Psukei Torah that contain the theme of Malchut, even if it doesn't have the word, and that would be acceptable to use in a pinch. V'yadata hayom v'hashevota el levavecha ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. Right? God is the one and only one. Right? And you should know on that day, and you should put your hearts to it to accept him as the one and only God, which is a theme, after all, very parallel to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Malchut divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says this is an acceptable statement of Malchut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Malchut. No, it wouldn't count. Ata hareta ladat ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. Right, another similar statement, right? That we should be aware of God's singularity and domain over the universe. Malchut divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina Malchut. Right, Lamaisa we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We end with Torah. We use Shema Yisrael, but nevertheless, there were a whole variety of psukim. That there are a whole variety of psukim that are entertained that are not don't make the cut, or at least not according to our tradition. So here's the musaf. You see, there is an advantage to learning online. I can't do this, in our regular sitting around the table. Even though my throat is a little parched here, not for corona, God forbid. Although a corona wouldn't be bad right now. A nice cold one. But my throat is a little parched. There is disadvantage to not being all together. But but to be able to show anything on the screen has advantages. We had last week someone had pointed out the Gemara says you can't bring in Zichronot. Oh, and by the way, what's the proof that the word melech doesn't need to appear in a pasuk in order for it to be acceptable? We mentioned it. Beseder, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's very nice. It's not sufficient to discuss the theme. But you need an actual pasuk where the word appears. So how do you know that that's not true? From our practice, like point to something else. So you know because we actually do use Shema Yisrael as one of the pasukim of Malchiot. But there's another proof you can bring. Right? And maybe you could say, okay, so for Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael is always a pasuk that's like in its own category. And B, as the Gemara pointed out, there's just no other option. Maybe when you're stuck, we'll be lenient and allow you to use a pasuk. But if there was a fourth pasuk that had a reference to God as Melech, we would have used that. So maybe Rabbi Yossi would have said, "And Achinami, if you had 10 more psukim that had 10 more psukim from the Chumash that had Hashem as Melech." We would still choose Shema Yisrael as the pasuk because it's the best statement of the idea, regardless of the fact that the word melech doesn't appear in it. Right? And what would be a raya that you could do it? Because in Zichronot, we have all types of psukim that don't have the word zocher, zachar. Right? V'Hashem zachar et Sarah? No. What does the pasuk say? V'Hashem pakad et Sarah. Right? So you see that the use of synonyms, like the point is not that you need 10 psukim where the word literally appears, but you need 10 psukim where that theme is central. In most cases, the word will also appear, right? You know, it's like, what's that game, you know? What's that game where it's like charades where you want somebody to say the word and you can't use the word to get your partner to say it. You have to say other things about it. You know, like the word is hat. So you say, you wear it on your head. Baseball players wear them. What? Oh, taboo is a game. Right? So in other words, you know, it's hard to talk about something. In most cases, it's hard to talk about something without actually using the word, unless you're playing a game where it's taboo to use the word. But sometimes, but we have rich language that's full of symbols, full of synonyms, and you could talk about things without actually hitting the nail on the head and saying it explicitly, and the meaning will be perfectly clear, and sometimes it'll be even more powerful. You want to talk about God being the master of the universe? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, does it very well, regardless of the fact that the word Melech doesn't appear. Steve, what did you say? No, okay, I'm just saying it's another example of the fact that we're not stringent on using 10 psukim that have the exact word as long as the theme is there. And adirabba, maybe we're thinking about it wrong. Right? In other words, the idea that we call it the nickname for this section is Malchiot, right, isn't because the word appears 10 times, but because that's the theme of the section. Right, the nickname comes afterwards to describe the thing instead of being the requirement to look for psukim that have the word. So last week we saw the Gemara had said that you can't use the Gemara, which psukim, there's so many psukim of zichronot that, you know, the types of things you don't want to remember. You don't want to remember Hashem punishing us, right? It's okay to talk about him remembering the goyim as long as it's remembering them for, you know, settling scores, you know, when they've been wicked to us. But you can't remember the zikaron of a yachid. We're aiming for national remembrance. And if Hashem once remembered an individual, so then that's not necessarily relevant. So then what's the pasuk of Pakad Hashem et Sarah doing there? So what does the Gemara say? Yes, since she's the mother of the nation, and without her, it wouldn't have been possible. So, someone pointed out, I think Steve pointed out but wait a second, what about Noach? What about Yonah? There are other individuals that are mentioned as well. The Gemara doesn't ask those questions, right? V'yizkor Elokim et Noach, right? So it's also. It's also an individual. So it's possible that that's why the verse is introduced with the words, Vagamet Noach ba'ahava zacharta, you remember Noach with love, v'tifkadehu bidvar Yeshua v'rachamim, and you remembered him with your remembrance, there was salvation, there was mercy, Bahaviacha et me hamabul shachet kol basar mipnei ruama alaleihem. When you destroy the world, you bring the flood, and you destroy the world in order to punish the civilization for its manifold sins. Noach is remembered. Al kein zichrono ba lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu laharbot zaro afrot tevel. That the world should be repopulated through his descendants. V'tze'etzav kechol hayam. Right? His descendants should go forth like the dust of the earth, the sand of the sea. Right? And as the point of remembering Noah was similarly universal. It was a universal remembering. Because by remembering Noah, he remembers humanity, which will be repopulated through him. So it's not the remembrance of an individual. But that's possibly why you have these introductory words, right? You have these introductory words to the pasuk, right? I'm sorry, say that again. Mm-hmm. No, but say that, because there are all types of psukim that are considered and rejected, but the reason that it's Maybe. Oh. Yes. So, what does he say? That's interesting. Now, Rav Huttner says something differently. Rav Huttner points out that, generally speaking, you know, like the Gemara in Megillah, I think we learned this when we learned Megillah. You know, this idea that you don't put like there's a hierarchy of how you place your Svarim. You don't put Torah Shebal Peh on top of Torah Shebichtav. You don't put a Navi on top of a Chumash, etc. Which is, if you have like a library of a certain size, it's sometimes hard to, you know, at a certain point the books get out of control. It's sometimes hard to be makbid on all these things. But when the Gemara in Megillah is talking about this, the Brisa in Megillah is talking about this, it's talking about scrolls. And as aside from the Sefer Torah and the Ark, their books were scrolls, right? In other words, they had a Megillat Esther, which they used for ritual purposes. But they also had, just like we have a Chumash, they might have had scrolls with the texts on them. So the Gemara talks about not piling, you know, one scroll on top of another, you put a Torah on top of a Navi and a Navi on top of a Ksuvim, because the Kedusha, you know, goes in that direction. Torah on top, Ksuvim on the bottom. The level of Nivu'ah that generated each one runs from higher to lower. So Rav Huttner asks, so why here do we violate that? You'd ask me, like, what order should we, how should you order the psukim? It should be Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And then if you want to end with the Torah pasuk, you know, to kind of wrap it all up, okay. So he says that idea of the hierarchy of the texts is as a written document. Right. Even though the Nevi'im spoke their Nevuah, the Nevuah that gets recorded for all eternity, you know, there's this idea that the Nevi'im said all, there was all types of Nevuot which were not recorded, which we don't know. Not every word that Hashem spoke to Moshe got written down. But every word that Hashem spoke to Moshe was Nevuah and was Nevuah on that high level, that unique level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why didn't it get written down? Well, partially because some were things that were personal communications between the two of them. And some of the things were what was called nivu'ah l'sha'ah. It was something that was necessary for Hashem to communicate to Moshe in the moment, but it didn't have an eternal message. Right? You know, this idea of like presidential records. A similar idea exists in Israel, but in the United States, this was something that came into effect after Watergate. Essentially, any paper, any document that the president lays eyes on has to be archived. It can be archived and sealed, right? It doesn't have to necessarily, not everything is open access. It can be sealed for national security. It can be sealed for matters of privacy, etc. But ultimately, the National Archives opens up, you know, all of the historical documents. And historians sit in, what's his name? Who wrote this? Was writing the long biography of Johnson. No? Robert Caro. Robert Caro has been writing his biography of Johnson for like 40 years. You know, every 10 years, he comes out with like a 900-page book. The last volume. Yes. So he goes into the archive, the Johnson archives, and he goes pay, and he just wrote a book about his process of writing these books. And there's a chapter there which is called Turn Every Page, something that he had learned from someone else, that somebody that goes into the archives and is trying to distill the archives of a presidential library for the work of a historian. So you have to turn every page. You have to lay eyes on every single page. Even though a lot of the stuff in the archive for historical purposes is completely useless. So Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't think that the Torah was a historical document. I mean, wouldn't it be fascinating for us to find the transcript, some Dead Sea Scroll, which was the transcripts of all the private communications of Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, the truth is that's partially what the Midrash is. You know, there's countless Midrashim which record things that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that are not in the Chumash. Now, the Midrash does not literally think that it had a record of those things, that it had found the secret archives, right? It's imagining. It's trying to fill in the gaps. It's trying to read between the lines. But wouldn't it be fascinating if we found that Moshe Rabbeinu, aside from writing the Torah, he was also keeping a diary for himself. And in that diary, he wrote all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that didn't make it into the Torah because it wasn't Nivu'ah L'Dorot. But wouldn't we want to read that? We absolutely would. We would venerate it. We would treat it as a holy text. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Torah Sheba'al Peh, it wouldn't be less worthy of our attention than the Torah Sheba'al Peh that Rabbi Akiva wrote. Adarabba. But we don't have it. So written nivu'ah is holy as a written text. So since the level of nivu'ah of the Nevi'im is superior to that of the Ketuvim, as a written document, it takes precedence. You put a Yeshayahu on top of a Tehillim, and not the other way around. However, Rav Huttner says, as a spoken text, Tehillim takes precedent. The significance of Tehillim is not as a written text per se, but as the lyrics for the Shirei David Melech Yisrael, Noam Zmirot Yisrael, right? So as a spoken text, Tehillim has superiority. I mean, even though it's true, we read, it's our custom to lane the Nevi'im for the Haftarot. Right? But that's a custom. The Tehillim were composed as spoken text, not as written. They're spoken texts which were canonized in writing. And the Nevi'im are written text preserved for all generations, which sometimes are ritually recited. So what's the Musaf? The Musaf is a spoken exercise. I mean, forget the fact that we have written Machzorim. But the Musaf is a spoken exercise. So as a form of declaration, as a form of speech ritual in prayer, so then the order is Torah, Tehillim, Ketuvim. And it's significant that all of the psukim from Ketuvim, all of them, to the last one, are from Tehillim. Not from Esther, not from Esther, not from Divrei Yomim, not from Mishle, not from Iyov. They're all from Tehillim, because Tehillim is the sanctity of the sung word, the spoken word, and that's why the order is like that. But that's a different explanation than what David just quoted us. Okay, let's see what's next. How do I change pages here? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, here we go. Here, mazeh. Ah, shofrot. So first of all, this first line, the first introduction to shofrot, it's perhaps the most powerful line of in Hebrew literature. Ata nigleta ba'anan chvodecha. Al am kadshecha ledaber imam. Min hashamayim hishmatam kolecha v'negleita alechem ba'arpalei tohar. Hold on. Here, this is the Sachs translation. The other Rabbi Sachs. You were revealed in a cloud of your glory to your holy nation to speak with them. Out of the heavens your voice was heard. You revealed yourself in mists of purity. Uri Tzvi, the great poet Uri Tzvi Greenberg, records that some point in the 40s, before Kom HaMedina, late at night he was walking through Yerushalayim with Agnon. And they walk down Rehov Yafo, they get to Shar Yafo. And as they're entering the old city, Agnon says, "Ata negleta ba'anan chvodecha v'al am kodshecha ledaber imam min hashamayim hishmatam kolecha v'negleta aleihem ba'arfalei tohar." And he grabs Uri Tzvi Greenberg's arm and he turns to me and says, "I'd give anything in the world to be able to write a line like that." It's just such a powerful line. So in the Shofrot, so besides the three psukim, right, look here. Like we say this every year, you know, four times. You know, twice each day in Musaf, in your private Shemon Esrei, and then in the Chazaras HaShatz, two times. But it's important to, like, pay attention to things. So how many psukim of Shofrot do we have? Well, more than 10. Because you have three from Torah, and then you have, what do you have from Tehillim? Allah Elokim betrua Hashem b'kol shofar, b'chatzotzot v'kol shofar hari lefnei ha-melech Hashem. Tiku b'chodesh shofar, so how many is that already? That's already three. And then you have the whole Mizmor Kufnun, the final Mizmor of Tehillim, you say the whole thing, all these hallelujahs, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, b'kadsho, hallelujah, b'riki, uzo, v'chule, v'chule, right? B'tziltzele, trua, kol ha'neshama, talia, hallelujah. Right? So you have an additional pasuk, right? So you end up having more than 10. You have 3 plus 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, the truth is, this is more than one pasuk. This is a whole mizmor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 psukim But it's like a unit. Like we saw before, like the psukim of Sushar Mashechem. Remember the Gemara was unclear whether Sushar Mashechem was three psukim, three malchiot, or five malchiot. And in the end, what do we do with it? We count it as one. Because it's like one unit. It doesn't matter that the word melech appears multiple times in those two psukim. Good. But even if it's three psukim, you know, like the lenient opinion is that it's three psukim. Okay, 10 seems to be the baseline, right? It's possible to have more, right? So this one, right? B'teka shofar or b'tziltzalei truah, right? You have both shofar and truah, right? This one is added. And in fact, we have more than three Tehillim psukim here at the end of Shofar. Okay. Look, we're going to stop here. Next week, Tuesday night, is Bedikat Chametz. So I guess people will be busy. Right? All right, so let's assume we won't learn next Tuesday. But if you want, like unless you're going to Luna Park, maybe we could learn during Chol HaMoed. You know, the key. Right. But, you know, the kids wanted to go out and play in the backyard today, but Lonnie told them, no, we're saving that for Chol HaMoed. That's our Chol HaMoed tool. So, what should I say? Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and Azisen Pesach, and Amen.